The MLB Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling. Make sure to subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you by Roman. Roman is the straightforward way to take care of your ED. Just get to getroman.com/SGP for $15 off your first month. That's getroman.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. From April 29 to May the 4th, if you deposit on Underdog Fantasy, you'll have a chance to win $1 million in their best ball contest. That's right, $1 million. Sign up now at underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Welcome, everybody, to episode 2 of the MLB Gambling Podcast here on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. The fact that I get to say that we had an episode 2 means episode 1 couldn't have been an entire dumpster fire. And I'm joined this week by the most luxurious looking man on the SGPN, Munaf Manji. Munaf, how are you?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you? We had a great first show. Got a lot of positive feedback from all the guys in the Slack channel. So I'm excited. You know, I know we're going to be on tonight or recording tonight, and hopefully we can get this out tonight or first thing tomorrow morning. But we're also recording now twice a week. So that's going to be exciting for both of us and for all the MLB fans.
Yeah, we said last week, it's a difficult thing to look ahead to. You can't even get 2 or 3 days ahead because there's with nightly games, it's hard for the bookies to price stuff up. So if we're doing a Thursday show to look ahead to the weekend games, then we were looking at doing a Sunday night show, and Will Moorman and the Dance and people like that are going to get involved, so we can have a review of the weekend and look forward to the early week as well. So the fact is, we can sit here and we can sound, I can have the best accent going, and you can be the most luxurious looking man, but unless we pick some winners, Munaf, no one's going to listen to us. And I think we did all right last week. We came out of it okay. We went with a double lock, not on purpose. We hadn't discussed what we were going to do. We ended up with a double lock on Saturday night, which was the Dodgers. We're going to touch on that whole series in a little while, the Dodgers Padres, and have a look at both sides season long. But we took the dub on Saturday for our double lock. Your second lock, you put up a second lock just because you didn't feel like you didn't want to. We didn't want to just give out one because we both picked the same one. Yeah. And you nailed the Astros. And that finished 16-2 or something like that.
Yeah, 16-2. It was a little nerve-wracking because Jake Odorizzi was pulled, I think, within like one out or two outs of the game with, I think it was either a finger issue or a hand issue. But the Astros offense just carried that game. And I think we were spot on with fading Canning in that game. They put up 16 runs, and I think they ran them off, I think, in a couple innings. So a good start to the, you know, picking bets, and hopefully we can carry that into this week. And I know you had a great week or picking that game. Also want to get to one more pick you had yesterday that I want to talk about, but I'm going to let you finish talking about our picks from last week.
Okay. I'm not sure where you're going with that. That's exciting. That Astros game last week, you were right, because you locked it up because of the Griffin Canning fade rather than the Odorizzi start for the Astros. Odorizzi lasted 5 pitches. And I know a little bit about this. The lad who came in, I think he's called Nate Emmanuel. Called up on Friday, 28 years old, which isn't that rare. People in their sort of late 20s, even early 30s, can get called up for the first time. Called into the game to make his debut after 5 pitches. And then he went 8 2/3. I mean, that's absolutely remarkable for him. He the entire game, bar the first five pitches, he knocked out the entire game. I mean, that's a rare thing to happen. Do you know much about this lad, or has there been much in the Houston press about that this week?
It really didn't. I went back and, you know, I was getting ready for our podcast here, and I went back and just to take a look at the box score of that Astros game. And I think there was a post about him. You know, he said he was just getting settled into the bullpen there, and he's about to sit down to have a cup of coffee. And the bullpen manager or the coach in there said, "Hey, you better not get too comfortable, because Odorizzi looked like he's about to come out." So he quickly warmed up, and, you know, the rest is history. I mean, yeah, I've never seen that before either. A guy that comes in, what, first inning with your starting pitcher only throwing five pitches, and for him to finish the entire game, not just like one out, one inning, but for him to go the rest of the game, that's really incredible to see. And I'm really excited for that young man. And I'm sure he's worked hard to come up into the league. And that was really awesome to see.
Yeah, it really was. It was unusual. Your dog got turned over, unfortunately. The Tigers and Casey Mize went down on the Friday night. My dog was, it won, but in slightly unusual circumstances. They got rained out on the Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It was the Diamondbacks. But actually, they went on Sunday as part of a doubleheader.
Yeah.
And I called out last week at the... It was Mad Bum who was starting the game. I called out his 8.68 ERA. I remember vividly saying it. He then proceeded to throw a seven-inning no-hitter, which doesn't officially get called a no-hitter for whatever reason. But again, it wasn't necessarily the Mad Bum start. It was the Smiley fade that we were going with. Smiley or Miley? Drew Smiley or Wade Miley? Which
I think
one?
It was Smiley. Who are they playing, the Reds or the...
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
They're playing the Reds?
The Reds.
Yeah, then it was Miley, I believe, then.
Yeah, and the D-backs put up a five spot in the first inning. So a little bit like your 16-2. I mean, that was gone. It was game over within 6 minutes of starting, which is a great feeling. The other thing we did, right, was we had a look in depth at the Dodgers and Padres. And we got the Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We went Padres, Dodgers, Padres, which is exactly what's happened. The picks were good. And when we get towards the end of the show, we'll give out this week's DFS-wise. The Friday night absolutely nailed it. It was almost as if I had a time machine. we gave the DeGrom complete game shutout, right? You didn't have to be up all night to reach that conclusion on your own. But what we did was we went Stars and Scrubs. We paired him with Cole Irvin of the A's, who took a fairly easy win. And then we name-checked four Rockies who were terrible and three of the four homered. I was watching the highlights the next morning. I was like, am I still dreaming here? They just kept going home run. So, and I mentioned on the podcast that I hadn't won the nightly SGPN DraftKings game. Yeah. And sure enough, I won that night. So I think you brought us a bit of luck as well. Saturday, missed with Yoermany Evaldi. He didn't do much wrong. They just kept hitting little dribbly singles off him.
Yeah.
He didn't get shelled. He wasn't struggling. It was just little dribbly singles everywhere. And then actually hit with Brady Singer. Sunday it was all very middle of the road. Tristan McKenzie did all right, Duffy and Fulmer. But yeah, it was a good effort. As far as tally site went, I told you I was struggling at the early part of the week. Fought back. Friday was 8-7. Saturday was 8-6. And this is the thing, it's a grind. If you can get one game in front, that's plenty. But then Sunday, I went 11-4 and in one fell swoop, pulled the entire week back. This week, I'm 20-20. And I'll just look at yours, actually. You've just updated yours. You're 19-20.
Yeah.
If I can stay over 500 for this season, it'll score on top of my CV. I mean, absolutely so determined to keep over 500 for the season. So 20-20 so far this week. And you've got 19-20. Are you peaks and troughs, or have you been steady, Eddie?
Yeah, you're just trying to stay the course here, right? I mean, it's the first week. The first month of the MLB season. And, you know, you're still getting used to the tendencies of some of these teams, right? And I think the goal right now for all of us that are picking these games is just kind of stay at that 500 mark. Right. And, you know, we're all right there. You know, we've had weeks where we've been really good. We've had weeks where we've been really bad, but we've been staying the course. And, so, you know, just based off a tally site, you know, Tally site, just make sure to check our daily picks over on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just hit that MLB tab. You'll see the MLB picks. And Tally site is it's right there embedded where we make our picks, but it goes up on our website at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. One thing I did want to get to before we get into the show is yesterday you had a plus 200, a lock. On my team. And I saw that after the game started. I was like, man, if I would have saw that, I definitely would have put some money down on that. But I mean, we have Malcolm out here giving out plus 200 locks. That was just amazing to see. What was your kind of rationale behind that pick?
Let's be honest, before I set off on the victory lap, there may have been a small amount of fortune in me landing that. Because it's actually a topic we're going to talk about, Jacob deGrom and the zero run support. Obviously, last Friday, he pitched the complete game shutout. And plus 200 for a Boston team, who are a good team. We talked about them last week. They're a good team. They're playing well. They're hitting. They're pitching okay. They're not doing anything wrong. And the Mets are, and the Mets have this absolute bizarre history, frankly. I just made a few, just in the 90 seconds before we came on, actually, Moonoff, I don't know if you noticed, I've updated what we were going to say about Jacob deGrom, that he's 27 and 21 over the last 3 years, which is kind of, it's on par with kind of a number three starter. But in actual wins versus expected wins, you know, in baseball, there's a stat for absolutely everything. He's minus 16.9. In actual wins versus expected wins. Even the complete game he threw last Friday, I think they finished 3-0 and he drove in two of the runs. He got the first two. Like, he had to literally do everything himself. So that was what stood out to me. I thought the 2-1 shot, because they do that a lot. And yet, I was lucky. If you back a team who scores one run and wins, you can't really be smelling yourself too much. But yeah, I was delighted with that. Kind of the news of the week's more IL stuff. And we talked about the Yankees last week and maybe a lack of opposition in their division. And Toronto, a team who might be thinking about pressing them. But Hyunjin Ryu, their A starter, has gone to the 10-day IL today. And that's going to be a big blow for Toronto, Moonaf.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about the Yankees last weekend. And I think in the 7 days that we didn't record, they went 5-2. So I guess they maybe heard us that we were talking about them. But yeah, I mean, you know, I had some notes down for the Yankees here. I mean, over their last week, they're 5-2. And, you know, in their five wins, it was really their pitching that kind of carried them to those victories, right? They didn't give up more than three runs in those five victories. So I think for the Yankees right now, it's just finding about consistency. You know, I know those bats are going to turn around for them sooner than later. I know they had a game tonight. They lost that game in extra innings to the Orioles. But, you know, going back to the Toronto Blue Jays, I think, you know, they lost their ace pitcher, but they also got their prize free agent back last night in George Springer. And, you know, he debuted by going 0-for-4. But, you know, George Springer was one of our fan favorites down here in Houston. So they're getting a great player. You know, he's going to be a guy that's going to be hot and cold all season long. That's just the type of player that he is. But to have a guy like that back in your starting lineup leading off for the Toronto Blue Jays, I think that's going to be really big for them to get their bats going. But I think the concern again is going to be that you lose your ace pitcher. There's really not much after him in their rotation. Yeah, they have Robbie Ray. But we saw right last night, Steven Matz got, you know, he got shelled last night by the Nationals. So a bit of a concern for the Toronto Blue Jays right now. You know, the Red Sox are, like we mentioned, they're leading that division right now by 3.5 games over the Rays. 8-1 on the road for the Boston Red Sox. I think that's incredible. And again, the home record for the Red Sox, it's intriguing because they play in one of the best baseball stadiums of all at Fenway Park. And they're kind of, you know, it's been a repeated issue for them kind of playing well at home right now, 8-8. So, you know, we'll get to that division later. I know we have another division that we're going to talk about, but I know we have a couple more injury news to get to also to kind of update everybody.
Yeah, there was quite a few scares really this week. I mean, George Springer coming back was good. Mike Trout took one squarely on the elbow that looked really nasty. He had to sit out the most of last weekend and actually came back in the early part of the week. Javi Baez, again, scared, but no aisle. Javi Baez would swing at absolutely anything. He swings at pitches that are 4 foot away from him.
Yeah.
His stat line, extrapolated this season, would read for one of the craziest seasons in MLB history. So I know it'll regress to the mean, but he's quite fun to watch, Javi Baez. I enjoy him. Yadier Molina to the IL. Now, that's a huge loss because he's not only a good player, but he's kind of the heartbeat of the team and the fan base there, Muna.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, he was batting well too. I think I was looking at their stats here before we got on here. I think he's batting way above 300. Yeah, 323 for Yadi. So, you know, hopefully it's nothing serious and it'll only last 10 days for them. You know, this Cardinals team I was high on coming into the season. I know we're going to talk about the NL Central today, so we'll get to that in a little bit. But yeah, I mean, hopefully some of these injuries, you know, for some of these guys, it's nothing too serious that they can come back in, you know, 10 days and 10 to 12 days for their teams. You know, luckily for as baseball fans and bettors, there hasn't been a significant injury yet here in the first month. But I know there was some news also on Juan Soto today that, you know, he may be coming back for the Nationals. I know he took batting practice on Tuesday for the Nationals, so they're just kind of waiting for him to start throwing the ball, and hopefully they can get him back also.
Yeah, they were looking to get Steven Strasburg back on the bump as well. Mm-hmm. So not too far away because the Nationals have been a little bit flaky. They need him. So last week, the big series that we actually analysed really well was the Padres Dodgers. So looking at the same team teams now from a season-long standpoint, they played back-to-back series over the last 2 weekends. They now don't see each other until June the 21st.
Right.
Padres took last weekend series 3-1. Dodgers took the one before that 2-1. But there's been some moves in the lines for the division that I don't really comprehend over such a short sample. So preseason, the Dodgers were minus 250 and the Padres were plus 88. Now, the Dodgers are totally prohibitive, minus 555, 1.18 on my UK bookie. And the Padres have drifted a little bit to plus 350. So I just wondered if you thought that was a fair reflection, or like I said, we are here to make picks. We are here to give people a steer if they want it. That plus 350 on the Padres, I don't see what's changed. If anything, you might be leaning closer to the Padres. The standings, the records don't make any difference. The Dodgers are 2 games better off. They've won 16 to the Padres 14. There, that's irrelevant. That could be overturned by Saturday night. So, having seen these two teams play each other, and the Padres have been more than competitive, I just wondered if the price drift, why you would say there'd been a price drift, and if now that plus 350 is something you'd be interested in for them to win that division.
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at the standings right now. The Padres are only 2.5 games behind this LA Dodgers, and San Francisco, one of the more surprising teams this season, are also tied for that division lead. But I'm not going to sit there and lay a minus 500 price on the Dodgers on a 162-game season where you're not going to lay that minus 500 price. But again, these Padres, their pitching has been phenomenal so far for this season. I think that's just because the bats haven't really come around for the Padres. You take a look at some of the numbers, pitching ranked Padres number one in pitching this season. Dodgers are number three in that span. So I agree with you. I don't think that the just because we've had two series between these. The Dodgers and the Padres already, where Padres, we saw them take three out of four last weekend. I don't think that the odds should have shifted that much in favor of the Dodgers. If I would put money down right now, yeah, why not take that plus 300, plus 400 if you can find that on the San Diego Padres, especially when they're only behind 2.5 games in that division. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I think if they even with a view to hedging, it's not something we talk about much on the SGPN, but if you can get a plus 350 and maybe by the All-Star break, it could be much closer. Padres could have a 3 or 4 game lead, and he might be able to get some of that back by taking the Dodgers at something nearer even money. The Padres, I mean, that first, those two series have been absolutely outstanding. There has not been a dud game in there. The Trevor Bauer and Fernando Tatis thing last week was absolutely outstanding. Loved it. Mm-hmm. Tatis gave him a little bit, which was fine. I was all for that. He's a very easy player to root for, is Tatis. The Padres are very reliant on him, I think. If he was to miss some time on the IL, and it's a possibility. He's definitely a candidate to miss some time. He already wrenched his shoulder once this season, came back pretty quick, and came back with a bang. Did he hit 5 bombs last week in that series?
I believe
series?
So. It was something around that. I know he had
absolutely ridiculous. Yeah,
it's crazy. Just quickly on the Padres. I mean, I think they're going to need somebody else to kind of step up in their batting lineup, at least because their pitching is kind of carrying them right now. Eric Hosmer leads them, this team in batting average right now, right at .299. I kind of want to see Manny Machado take that form of batting, a guy that can bat close to .300 for this team and kind of take that pressure off of Fernando Tatis Jr. So, you know, I'm looking for Manny Machado to kind of step up here for the Padres for you know, going into the month of May and into the summer.
Yeah, there's no question I would make the Dodgers favorites. I don't think you could put a cigarette paper between the pitchers, but the batters just in San Diego don't go as deep. The top 3 or 4 studs are there, but then the Dodgers can fall back on even Chris Taylor, McKinstry, people like that, AJ Pollock, where the Padres, you're looking at sort of Tommy Pham.
Yeah.
I like Cronenworth a lot. He'll do all right. But yeah, they need Machado to step up. Hosmer, Myers, people like that are doing all right. But beyond that, I think the Padres do need to stay healthy because they don't have the depth that the Dodgers do. But yeah, I think that plus 350, I wouldn't put you off that at all. I don't know why. Yeah. There's been such a drift in the prices because really, they should be the same. The worst case scenario is there's been nothing's happened to move the needle that far. So yeah, the plus 350 on the Padres, even with an eye on hedging in a couple of months' time. So
yeah,
that's something we'd be looking to take on. Moving on, Moonaf, one of the most intriguing divisions when we did the preseason podcast. Intriguing, I mean, that's another word for boring. it was intriguing from a betting point of view, which is why we're here, because there was no clear favourites. The NL Central, and really it was four average teams and one bad one. The favourites were St. Louis, were a plus 150. And then you had Cincinnati Milwaukee plus 260, Cincinnati plus 350, and the Cubs at plus 400. So you could have thrown a blanket over the top four in the betting.
Yep.
I think the one thing we talked about then that had moved it was the signing of Arenado for St. Louis, because nobody had spent any money at all. So really, it was an absolute bum fight. And then the Brewers picked up a couple of sneaky good players on the cheap. Colton Wong went there. He's been on the aisle, just come back. But there's been a little shift in the odds now. So we actually went with the Brewers preseason. The Brewers have now gone plus 110 favourites from that plus 260. Yeah. The Cards have drifted ever so slightly to plus 170. The Reds haven't moved much. The two teams that have actually moved the needle, the Cubs have doubled in price by being bad from 4s out to 8s. And the Pirates have started really well, but that's only moved them from 50s to 80s. So we can kind of draw a line through them. You're looking at the Reds haven't really done much for me. They've been kind of good fun on occasions, but the pitching doesn't go very deep. The bullpen has kind of unraveled a little bit with injuries to Garrett. Sims has come back. He's been in and out. TJ Antone does some good stuff, then does some awful stuff. So the Reds are kind of an easy pass for me. So we're down to the Cards and the Brewers. And now with those prices, Would you still be interested in the Cards, or would you be looking to push the Brewers, press our preseason bets on the Brewers, Munaf?
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at the starting pitching. I think that's been the story for the Milwaukee Brewers, right? You're starting with Corbin Burnes, who's just got off to a flaming white hot start for them. I mean, he's 2-2, but an ERA of 1.53, WHIP of 0.55, and he has a average of 15 strikeouts per 9 innings. So that's really incredible. And then their ace that they started the season with, Brandon Woodruff, who's having a great season, also 2-0, 1.55 ERA, and then Adrian Hauser, 2-2 with a respectable 3.65. So their top three guys there are really doing well in this first month of the season for them. I think that's been the story for the Milwaukee Brewers. You know, I kind of wrote down like some of the batting and pitching ranks right now through the first month for this division. And like you mentioned, the Cincinnati Reds, I would definitely cross them off the list. They are the third best offensive team in this league. They are number one, 17-6-1 to the over. If you're an over better, that's a great team to back because they have the hot bats and their pitching, like you said, has been dog shit. their starting pitching ranks number 28. The bullpen is ranked number 29 in the entire league. So, and then we talk about the two teams that you just mentioned, right? Milwaukee Brewers and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Cardinals are kind of like they're right there in the middle in both batting and pitching. And outside of Jack Flaherty, you know, who's the other kind of pitcher for them that's going to move the needle for them to win that division? And right now, I would probably double down on the Brewers just because of those three pitchers that I just mentioned for this team. The bats eventually are going to turn around for this team. But I just to answer your question, I still have faith in the Brewers to win this NL Central division.
So our plus 260 on the Brewers is looking good. If you want to top that up there, the plus 110. I mean, the Cardinals pitching, Jack Flaherty kind of sparked them into life last weekend with a really good outing. And then they got Kim back. They call him KK, Kwan Young Kim. I've watched him pitch tonight, actually. He's an odd thing is that he's a rookie and a veteran all at the same time. He pitched last year in the shortened season, but he came across, I think he's 32 years old, but he came across from the KBO. He's got 136 wins in the KBO. Wow. So he clearly knows what he's doing, and he pitched well again tonight. One earned run, he allowed a few hits, seven maybe over five innings, but just the one earned run, and actually was a little bit unlucky not to get the win. The Cardinals won in extras.
Yeah.
And yeah, Wainwright then followed, so he's done all right. And I don't mind John Gant. I've watched John Gant in long relief, and I think he was always a frustrated starter. The only thing is, in sitting here now, you can say, yeah, the boys are doing all right. If you tell me in the middle of August that they've all got 5.1 ERAs, you're not going to be hugely surprised. Even the bullpen, I mean, on Tally site, we put up a whole load of futures on a million different markets. Yeah. And I got Alex Reyes in the saves market, which was any price you like, you could write as many zeros as you want. And he's picked up a whole load of saves at the start of the season. A very, very talented player who's been very injury prone, but they've managed to get him closing. And he's doing really well, so he's getting me a nice little sweat on there. But Aaron Hicks tonight wasn't great. I do like Giovanni Gallegos. But yeah, I just think overall, I think we were right with the plus 260 on Milwaukee. And I think I don't even mind the plus 210. Yeah, I think that's going to develop into a match. I think you're right. We can put a line through the Reds. The Cubs are poor. And Pittsburgh have been quite good fun. Pittsburgh have won a lot of games. They've been a decent money line play quite a lot of the time because they haven't got a bad record, but they're more often than not plus 175, plus 180, sometimes plus 200. And they've won some games at some funky prices. So if you're looking for a nightly bet or a dog, Pittsburgh can often give you a good run for your money.
Yeah, I mean, take a look at Pittsburgh Pirates right now. They are the second most profitable team if you just blindly take them on the money line. So their record 12-12 right now, they were projected to have the least amount of wins in the entire league, but for them to be at a 500 start and being the second most, you know, profitable team, it has been obviously exceeded expectations so far. There may be a bit of a regression due for them. I know they started off with, I think, a win, and then I think they lost like six in a row. And since then, they've been kind of trending water. They won a couple series here and there against the Twins and the Tigers. But yeah, like we mentioned, this NL Central, I think it's going to come down to these, you know, these are two teams that we talked about, the St. Louis Cardinals and the Milwaukee Brewers. So it's going to be interesting to watch this race kind of develop here as we get into the you know, second month of the season and into the summer. And I'm sure we're going to revisit it further down the line and you know, talk about what's been working well for both of these teams.
Yeah, we gave out Pittsburgh as a very solid over actually in the preseason podcast. Mm-hmm. The line was at 57.5. We had them at 66, which was a huge disparity, which is why it was such a confident over. And the fact they've already gone 12-12, that doesn't leave you with an awful lot of work to do. Yeah. To get to that 57.5. It gives you a great head start.
Especially
when you're playing such a low number.
Yeah, especially 1 month into the season, right? You already have 12 wins and you were projected to only win 58.5. So they've already covered almost, 20% of that number right there, maybe a little more. But yeah, I think that was another spot on pick we had in the preseason or the MLB preview show that we did with Sean and Ryan.
WynnBET is bringing you the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Generous promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today and you'll receive a special offer up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at wynnbet.com and download the app today. I was on last night with Sean and Ryan. They'd been to the Dodgers-Reds game, actually. Yeah. Sean was doing a very poor job of disguising the fact he'd had about 9 beers. and I covered the Kentucky Derby for the boys. So if you want to use your WynnBET promotion, the horse we gave out was Known Agenda. It drew the coffin box, stall one. That wasn't ideal, but that's okay. So if you have a look at the ponies, listen to the Kentucky Derby podcast and use your WynnBET bonus to get involved in the horses on Saturday night.
There you go. I know you had Sean had mentioned that he was going to the, or didn't say he was going to bet on the Dodgers game. And then he wanted to take it on the run line, the -1.5. So we were sweating that. I think it was an eighth inning where they had runners on the corners. And then I think they brought in Blake, one of the relievers, and he got him out of the jam. And then I think they dropped like 6 runs in the top of the top of the ninth inning. So a bit of a sweat for no reason, but they got the job done for Sean and everybody in the Slack channel that was on that -1.5.
Yeah, when we were talking horses last night, we were talking breeding, we were talking studs and stallions. If you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Get to roman.com/SGP now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A US licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/SGP and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to getroman.com/SGP now to get $15 off your first month. There's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Getroman.com/SGP. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment. If you haven't played on Underdog Fantasy, you have to check it out. Their fantasy best ball tournaments are some of the best around. Even better is their NFL Draft Weekend special. Sign up between April 29 and May the 4th, and you'll have a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million. When you go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN, you'll get $25 free, with which you can use to enter their Best Ball Mania tournament. SGP will be running private best ball drafts for the listeners as well. This is a limited time offer that ends May the 4th. So go to underdogfantasy.com and use the promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. Moonaf, I mean, that's 2 weeks running. I've nailed the segue into the Roman.com advertising, talking stallions and studs and that this week.
You're 2-0 on that. So I'm going to keep a record on that until, you know, until we, as long as we still have a sponsor on them. So I'm going to write that one down, 2-0 on the Roman ad.
Excellent. we can lock that up every week, even if the baseball's going wrong. I'll try and nail that one. So moving on this weekend, then we're looking to make some picks. There's no real, obviously last week Dodgers Padres stood out. Mm-hmm. There's no real big series. This weekend there's no sort of stud teams or even huge big pitching duels like we had last week with Bauer and Kershaw and Darvish and everybody going. So if you had a look through the weekend slate, Moonoff, what mm-hmm. took your eye?
I you know, it was not, like you mentioned, it's not as exciting as it was last weekend, like you mentioned, with the Padres and the Dodgers. And I think we highlighted the Nationals and the Mets were playing last weekend also. But as far as this weekend, I'm not, you know, there. I mean, the only one that really kind of caught my eye was maybe the Mets and the Phillies in the National League. Other than that, I mean, I don't really, you know, see anything too exciting this weekend. I know there's like we mentioned, the NL Central, there's a division clash between the Cubs and the Reds kicking off tomorrow. The Indians and White Sox may be intriguing. I know we have that in our show notes. So you want to kick it off with some of the pitching matchups that we, you know, might want to keep an eye out for this weekend?
Yeah, that was the one. I mean, even if the matchups aren't too exciting, there's still going to be gambling opportunities for us, Moonoff. There's still going to be winners and losers, and we're here to pick them. So, yeah, that game stood out, the Indians and the White Sox. Shane Bieber taking mm-hmm. his 2.48 ERA to face Dallas Keuchel for the White Sox, who I actually quite like as well. I just got pulling up the numbers in front of me now. Bieber's good. The Indians have been. I've watched quite a few Indians games.
Yeah,
and I can't entirely work out if they're a good side or not a good side. They've been a little bit flaky. Again, it is a very small sample size. But what have you made of both of these teams so far?
Yeah, I think the biggest disappointing team this season so far, at least, has been the White Sox, at least for me, because I was so high on them coming into the season. You know, I had loved their batting lineup. I mean, up and down, it was full of guys that can get on base, power hitters, you know, guys that can hit for average, guys that can hit for power. I think the one, you know, question mark for this team has been the pitching, right? I mean, Lucas Giolito, we talked about how he was supposed to maybe have a possible Cy Young season. He's not off to a great start. He has a 1-2 record, 25 innings pitched so far. He's given up 22 hits, 16 earned runs, and 5 home runs in that time, with the ERA of 5.68. You know, Dallas Keuchel, like you mentioned, he's been okay. Nothing too glamorous. 1-0. He has 5 starts, only 1-1 in that start, but a ERA of 4.32. Lance Lynn, I think, is going to have to be the guy that they need to kind of get back here and kind of round out this rotation. I'm sure Lucas Giolito is going to turn it around for this team, but you know, that NL Central, or sorry, the AL Central is possibly wide open. I mean, I think the surprising team, another team that we picked to kind of look out for and probably take the over on their regular season wins, was the Kansas City Royals. Right now, they're sitting in first place at 15-8. Chicago White Sox are only 2.5 games back. And then another team in that division that's kind of, you know, been disappointing is the Minnesota Twins. So definitely, you know, Lucas Giolito, Dallas Keuchel versus Shane Bieber is going to be an exciting, you know, matchup to watch if you love watching, you know, good pitching.
Yeah, the White Sox get Lance Lynn back on Saturday night. He's been on the IL. He comes back from his trapezius strain, whatever that might be. They've just got split series looking all over it, really. You're looking at Bieber to take Friday night. The Indians have been heating up a little bit. There's Franmil Reyes hit round about 900 feet of home run a couple of nights ago in two installments, which was quite impressive. Josh Naylor looks like he's warming up. Jordan Luplow, who came in, his average is only 204, but he wasn't making the starting lineup regularly early on the season. But he's coming. So they look like they've got a lot of power. They've got a lot of bombs. Andres Jimenez has disappointed me because I tipped him up as a stolen base possibility early in the season. And he's just not playing enough. I thought he was going to get more plate appearances. He's batting nine. And Ahmed Rosario, who they were trying to move to the outfield, is actually starting to encroach on Andres Jimenez's playing time.
Yeah.
Which is slightly disappointing me from that point of view. So, yeah, the Indian White Sox. I looked at Friday night. Was Pablo Lopez intrigued me? And because I like him a lot. The only issue with present is that we don't know who the opposition's going to be. He draws the Nationals. He's 0-2 for the season, Pablo Lopez, but he's got a 2.93 ERA. We've talked before about Marlins have this stable of young, really good quality pitcher, and Sandy Alcantara has been excellent for them. We're expecting Sixto Sanchez to be up. I think he'll be up soon, but Pablo Lopez is really establishing himself as a top pitcher. Washington are 9-12. I wasn't sure whether to put this up as one of my dogs, but I'm not entirely sure if they are going to be a dog. It all depends who the Nationals get on the bump. So I'll probably put it in as one of my tally type picks, but unable to lock it up. But these Miami pitchers are quite intriguing, Munaf.
I mean, you take a look at the whole National League East division there. You have the Braves that are sitting at 12-12, and you have the last place team, the Washington Nationals, that are 9-12, and they're only 1.5 game back of that lead. So I think the National League divisions are going to be more intriguing and fun to, you know, keep an eye on than it is of the American League, because there's so many teams that are just kind of bunched up there. And I think that National League East, that division might just come down to like the final week of the season. So, you know, going back to the Washington Nationals, I think this, the Miami Marlins, you know, they've been sneaky good also. I mean, you know, they're two games under 500, but they're playing hard. They're playing well. And like you mentioned, they're still waiting for Sanchez to kind of come up. The pitching for them hasn't been too bad at all. You know, you mentioned Sandy Alcantara, 3.19 ERA, 36 innings pitched. He's 1-2. He has 4 quality starts, obviously not getting the run support. And another guy that we kind of need to mention in that rotation, Trevor Rogers for them. So, you know, he's been really good for them also. 3-1 on the season, 28 innings pitched. He's only given up 18 hits, 4 combined earned runs in those 28 innings with a 1.29 ERA. So, you know, now if you add Sanchez into this rotation, you know, this might be a team that's going to be exciting to watch and you know, a very, very, very good pitching rotation for the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I think all weekend the Marlins could be live dogs. Even they've got a rookie, I can't remember his name, Cole something, who's pitching on Saturday night. He pitched last weekend as a piggyback following an opener, but he's coming in. And I think if you're looking for a live dog, we talked earlier about Pittsburgh being a really good live dog. I think Miami fall into the same category. They might be facing up Scherzer one night. That might be Sunday night, I think. It's Paul Campbell is the pitcher for Miami, but he's stretched out in spring training, so he should be able to go. He'll be a real bargain price on DraftKings if you're looking for a possible play. Friday night there's bits and bobs. Say Shane Bieber looks like a winner. The Marlins might be fun. Saturday night, there's a player I wanted to talk about, Matt Harvey. He went from being an absolute stud to kind of a bit of a figure of fun, which was a shame for him because it wasn't his fault. It sort of everything unraveled a little bit for him at the Mets. And then he's bounced around a few teams and he's landed with the Orioles this year. And he keeps winning. He's 2-1, he's at 4.26 ERA, 21 strikeouts. And he's been a hell of a lot better than most people. I never heard anyone preseason talking about Matt Harvey. No one was talking him up. Is this legit or does it give us a genuine opportunity to fade the hell out of him the next few starts and get rich?
I think that fade the Matt Harvey train, I think we might want to put a halt on it right now, because I thought, you know, we were talking about this in the MLB Slack channel, was he was going up against the Yankees, and I thought the Yankees would absolutely shell him. But you take a look at the stats in that game for him, 6 innings pitched, only gave up 3 hits and 1 earned run over, you know, like I mentioned, 6 innings. Previous start against the Marlins, 5 innings, you know, 8 hits, 3 earned runs. He hasn't given up more than 4 earned runs in a game. That was against the Red Sox, one of the best teams in the league so far. But over his last 3 starts, a combined 6 earned runs given up over 15 innings. So I think we'll get a better idea of who Matt Harvey really is over his next couple starts here. And then I think we can make a determination off that, whether it's just early season success or is he going to kind of regress back to the mean. But as of right now, I'm going to put a halt on the fade the Matt Harvey train and really see, at least in his next 2 starts, how he does pitching against some of these other opponents.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I find myself willing him to do quite well as well. There's always something good about a comeback story. Someone who has fought tooth and nail to get back from his dark night days when he was with the Mets. He's done really well. Great game on Saturday night. Dodgers Brewers. Dustin May and Brandon Woodruff, Munaf.
Yeah, again, like we talk about, Brandon Woodruff, one of the aces for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Dustin May, kind of the unsung guy that nobody's really talking about for the Dodgers, because you have three other guys in that rotation with Kershaw, Buehler, and Trevor Bauer. Dustin May, I mean, he's on my SGPN fantasy league, so, you know, I'll be rooting for him to have a good outing, but, you know, he's been good for the Dodgers. I'm trying to pull up his stats here. Give me here one.
He had 10 strikeouts last weekend against the Padres last Sunday night.
He did. Yeah.
And so we talked about that because I watched the game he played the time before that, and he was a little bit unlucky. He was painting corn. He didn't get many calls. Mm-hmm. So he was due a good outing. Obviously, the Dodgers lost that game last week. Yeah. But yeah, and he's drawn some tough matchups as well. He could easily be 4-0 if he'd drawn some easier matchups than the games he's been getting.
Yeah, I mean, he's started 4 games so far in this season here in April, and you know, 21 innings pitched. He's given up 15 hits and 6 earned runs, which is pretty good. You know, I mean, it's incredible to see the pitching depth that the Dodgers have. I mean, this is a guy that's, you know, that can fill in that starting rotation if a guy, you know, God forbid, goes down in the rotation for the Dodgers, and also a guy that can come out of the bullpen for you in the playoffs where the rotation will kind of shorten up to maybe 4 guys. So, you know, Dustin May, a great arm for the Dodgers. And I mean, again, another matchup that we'll be looking at on this weekend, looking out for Dustin May here.
Yeah. If you're looking for a possible angle, obviously the Dodgers are rarely a dog. And actually I think they will be, the prices will be fairly even in this game with Brandon Woodruff pitching, but Brandon Woodruff does have a 5.82 ERA against the Dodgers. He's played six starts against him, a 5.2 ERA. And with May going well, coincidence, Munaf, Dustin May pitching on May the 1st, which is May Day. I mean, come on, the clues are there.
Yeah, right.
The clues are there. You've just got to put the pieces together, Munaf.
Yeah, there you go, right? You're finding the angles that that may be profitable for this weekend. So I love that. You kind of want to get into your DFS picks for the weekend?
Yes. So again, we're looking for getting too far out for having prices and or salary caps and what have you, knowing who we're going to pick. But I already mentioned, so Friday, I mentioned Pablo Lopez and his 2.93 ERA with his 32 Ks. He doesn't really know how to have a bad out in Lopez. Possibility of getting the win, like we mentioned, against the Nats. Brady Singer, we picked last weekend. And pitched really well on Saturday night. So I'm happy to throw him back in again. Against Minnesota, I would say Minnesota are a problem at the minute. They crush lefties, which we're going to come to in a little while. But I think Singer might be okay. And the stack, I looked at the LA Angels against Chris Flexen of Seattle. He got away with it last time. Now, I think that was a Red Sox game last weekend. Did you watch that game?
I didn't catch that one, no.
And again, Flexen just seemed to be getting away with it. It was the game Eovaldi pitched, and everything that Seattle put their bat on dribbled through for a single. Yeah. Everything that Boston hit went to a fielder. And it could easily have gone the other way. If the two things had been switched, he would not have batted an eyelid. The two pitchers didn't pitch any different. But Flexham kind of got away with it. And we've talked before about the Angels. The Angels are a fun lineup. They're a powerful lineup. Stuff can easily get out of hand quickly. Rendon came back and immediately was straight back on the horse last night. So Trout, Otani, Rendon, Walsh, Upton. I think Flexham might go a long way on Friday night. Saturday, Matt Harvey's opponent. I looked at his. It's Lizardo for Auckland. Struck out eight last time and draws poor opposition against Baltimore. Jack Flaherty, we've already mentioned. I really struggle to say his surname. It doesn't suit my accent one little bit. He's chalk, but he's good chalk.
Yeah.
And a stack, we've just talked about Minnesota. Twins, they do crush left-handed pitching and they draw Danny Duffy of the Royals on Saturday night. So that should be in their wheelhouse. Sunday, Corey Kluber, last time, eventually managed to get out of the fifth inning and draws poor opposition against the Tigers. So hopefully his upward trajectory will continue. And Garrett Richards, one of your boys versus Texas, 10 Ks last weekend against the Mets.
Yeah.
So looking for a good performance from him. And on the Sunday night, I went back to the Angels. Listen, if it's not broke, don't fix it. We've got Angels v Seattle on Friday. I've got the Angels versus Justice Sheffield on Sunday night. He allowed 12 hits on Monday against the Astros. So anything approaching that, if you can get a stack in the middle of that Angels lineup, that's going to pay for you. Better than Vegas. It's like YouTube for what D-gens only care about, sports betting. We're giving out free daily video picks over on our Better Than Vegas profile page. Better Than Vegas is always running a ton of free contests as well. They've got a ton of free picks and handicappers to check out. Make sure to subscribe to our profile so you don't miss a pick. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. Okay, Moonaf, we have teased the people for long enough. This is what they're here for. Picks, locks, dogs. Let's put our money where our mouth is. Let's name some names. Where are we going this weekend?
Yeah, I think a guy that you already mentioned, Jack Flaherty, for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm going to back him again this weekend. He's taking on the Pirates this weekend. You know, he got off to a slow start in his first start this season against the Reds, but since then 4-0, three earned runs given up, over 24 innings pitched. So against the Pirates, he has some great historical numbers. You know, back in 2020, last season, the COVID year, two starts against them, 2-0 in that situation, 2.08 ERA, 13 innings pitched, three earned runs, eight hits, 17 strikeouts. He had one start in Pittsburgh last season. He went six innings, gave up two hits and just one earned run in that start. Then going back to 2019, two starts against the Pittsburgh Pirates, 1-0 in that situation, 15 innings pitched, eight hits, one earned run and 18 strikeouts. So he's had success against the Pirates in his last, you know, 3 to 4 starts here. I'm going to continue to ride that here and backing Jack Flaherty and the Cardinals on Saturday. And I'll take that as a lock.
Yeah, I noted that down as well. I know we went double luck last week and I usurped you early on the Padres to beat the Dodgers on Saturday when you'd already picked it. And yeah, we've done a similar thing. But listen, the system worked last week, so I'm happy to go double luck for that one because I did pick one of my own. And again, it was a fade of a pitcher rather than the back end of the other one. And it's on Saturday and it's the Diamondbacks to beat the Rockies. Austin Gomber for the Rockies. This came on my radar because Austin Gomber, I've got a lot of fantasy teams going. I've got 8 or 9 fantasy teams. Wow. And I mine a lot of information. And Austin Gomber came onto a lot of radars last week. He was there was a lot of fab budget being spent on Austin Gomber. And I wasn't entirely sure why, because he's not very good. He'd done okay. He'd flashed in a couple of starts. But his peripherals, it absolutely undermined that. So Fab runs on Sunday night. Everybody spent about a fifth of their budget on him. And then it was a two-start week as well. He was starting Monday and he's starting Saturday, or might have been Tuesday. He had a two-start week, which possibly make some value for money if you can get two starts out of him in this period. However, the first one of those starts, 1 2/3 innings at San Francisco, 9 runs allowed on 7 hits and 4 walks. Yeah. So that was the end of that, an ERA of about 28,000. So this Saturday, he goes to Arizona and nothing's changed. So I'm happy here. Zach Gallen on the hill for Arizona, 2.16 ERA. Pitched in the doubleheader last week. In fact, it was the first game of the doubleheader that had my dog last week, which was when the Mad Bum no-hitter came.
Yep.
Gallen pitched the first game and limited them to one hit. So in a doubleheader, Atlanta managed one hit over two complete games against the D-backs. So I'll absolutely take... So, I mean, actually, I said it was just a fade of Gomba. It's not. It's a double-edged sword because I'm happy to take Zach Gallen and fade Austin Gomba at the same time. So they will be my luck. You got us a dog, Moonaf?
I did. I was going to go with the Tigers with Jose Reina, but... I'm going to go tomorrow night. I have John Means on the mound for the Orioles taking on the Oakland A's. John Means off to a fantastic start pitching-wise this season. I mean, you take a look at some of his numbers. 5 games started so far this season, 30 innings pitched, 18 hits, 5 earned runs. He should be a slight dog going into Oakland. He's already faced them last Sunday on the 25th, or this past Sunday. He went 6 1/3, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 6 strikeouts. He did walk 3, but he did get the he got the victory there fairly easily for the Orioles. So I'll take that as a dog.
Yeah. John Means is developing into a genuine stud. I think he's a very, very good pitcher. Well, I looked at that game earlier on. I don't think Oakland had declared a pitcher, but MLB.com is currently telling me Mike Fiers is going to go. So back from the IL, Mike Fiers, being in the bullpen, but using him as a starter. So yeah, that's an absolutely great call. I think there will be a dog, and you're absolutely right. My dog, Saturday night, I did this last week. I'm a creature of habit. And the 3 or 4 things that worked for me last week, I thought, you know what, let's go back again. So, Blake, it's going to be the Giants at the Padres. And that they'll be a proper dog. It's Tony Disco who's pitching for San Francisco, Anthony Desclafani, and he's taking on Blake Snell, and really it's the same fade as Blake Snell. Now, Blake Snell has done nothing wrong, absolutely nothing wrong. I get that. I say he can faff around a little bit, he can shave the zone, he can throw a lot of pitches.
Yeah.
Desclafani threw a complete game last time against, yeah, it was only the Rockies. But the last time he faced the Padres, it was 5 innings pitched for just 1 run. And the Giants are 16-9 at the end of the day. We mentioned it earlier on. Yeah, they've got a really good record. So I think they will be a dog. That could be approaching, I'm guessing, maybe over 150, maybe towards the 175 mark. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb, and that'll be my dog this week.
There you go.
Do you have anything else that you want to put out? Anything else that people need to be aware of, Moonav?
No, just make sure to check out our picks over there on sportsgamblingpodcast.com, you know, powered by TallySide. We make our picks on TallySides, but those picks get embedded on our website. So make sure to check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Just go to MLB, you see MLB picks. Hopefully Malcolm has another plus 200 lock for us this weekend or you know, over the weekend or maybe early next week. So make sure to check that out.
Yeah, them picks, honestly, even last night, the start of the Kentucky Derby podcast we're doing, I noticed Ryan and Sean, who are obviously very busy men, had a little look. And in the early game, we'd gone 4 for 4 on Miami again. Yeah. And they were a dog last night. Mm-hmm. And that was across the board, me, yourself, Will, and one of the Dance, and we'd gone 4 for 4 on Miami. So yeah. It was green lights all over TallySide. So yeah, have a look at TallySide. The Slack channel is always open. As mentioned, the little DFS DraftKings game that we have, it's a fun game. It's a $2 game. It's winner takes all. The money's been spread around. I've had 2 wins this week. So this podcast was a good omen for me. I managed to get 2 wins out of the last 7 nights. So I'm happy with that record. This will get posted up overnight, but yeah, keep a check on Tallysite, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. There is all manner of things. Moonaf, you've got basketball and stuff happening this weekend?
We have, yeah. We're now cranking out daily podcasts for NBA. We started a Tuesday show now with Dan, myself, and Zach. But tomorrow, check us out on Locker Room with our OG Ryan McKee.
He's back, is he?
Yeah. No, he does the Friday Locker Room, so he has a
excellent.
Yeah, so it's always good to talk to him at least once a week, and he's always popping in the Slack channel. But man, make sure to check out all of our stuff. It's on Better Than Vegas. You know, our articles on the website, the golf podcast, hockey. We have just all sorts of stuff happening on the website and on daily podcasts. So make sure to check us out, subscribe, the review, and you know, make sure to follow our Twitter on Sports Gambling Podcast Network on Twitter, and then also follow myself and Malcolm on Twitter. You can find me at SportsNerd824 on Twitter. And Malcolm, what's your Twitter handle for so the people can get your locks there also?
I'm at Mal_B_sport. Yeah, I've put up my Kentucky Derby preview. So there's an article and there is a podcast up there. So if you've got time, it's a big weekend of sport. There's loads of stuff going on, as Moon I've just described. But yeah, play the ponies and then tweet me on how you're spending your winnings. Enjoy the baseball this weekend, everybody. I hope we steer you in the right direction. Thanks for joining us. Moonaf, it's been an absolute pleasure again. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week. We'll see you down the road. Cheers.